Well, I'm very thankful to Brother Eric for filling in last week on short notice, and thankful for your understanding. I was very ill. I haven't been, I believe, the first year after Melinda and I were married, I had the flu that bad, but it's been that long. And I haven't had it that bad, maybe ever. It was bad. But thank you. Thank you very much. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. In verse 13, the Lord is speaking, and he says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Now, as one that God has called to preach the gospel, one of the saddest, most sorrowful things to me is to see sinners who hear the Word of God, hear it preached, and then go on with the same everyday routine and refuse to hear God's Word and to hearken to God's Word. Sometimes you want to, you think, you know, a word's coming out of here. And it's very sorrowful. On the flip side of that coin, a happy thing is when God begins to work and you see someone focused and in an urgent way to want to find out who Christ is. I want to know Christ. That's a joyful thing. Many here don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many here do not trust the Lord of glory. Some who are believers suffer in various kinds of trial. And then you have others who have difficulty with sin. And you have some who would just like to be strengthened with a fresh view of Christ. All these are various forms of captivity. Whether it's unbelief, whether it is trials, chastening, or sin, or weakness of spirit, weakness in faith. These are various forms of captivity. And the only one who can deliver us is the Lord. But whatever the case, this is what he says. Now, verse 13, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." So this is not just for the unbeliever. This is for believers as well. This is for, he's actually speaking to believers. What is it to seek the Lord? That's my subject. What is it to seek the Lord? He tells us here, the Lord tells us here, it is to give God the glory as we seek only the Lord with our whole heart. Giving God the glory as we seek only the Lord with our whole heart. Now, first of all, to seek the Lord, to truly seek the Lord, is to give the Lord all the glory for your seeking. Now, Jeremiah delivered this word at a time when God had chastened Israel. He had turned them over to Babylonian captivity. They're in captivity in Babylon at the time that this word's delivered to them. And they have no way of freeing themselves from that captivity. Now, that is the sin problem with all who God saves and who He continues to to teach and to instruct. This is our sin problem. This is our sin problem. We've sinned against God, and our sins have separated us from God. That's a problem, because only God can bring us back to fellowship with God. And if He left us where we were, we wouldn't have any fellowship with Him. We wouldn't even seek Him. Only God can continue to make us seek Him. And we continually need Him to make us seek Him. But if He left us to ourselves, we would have remained dead in trespasses and in sins, in captivity with no way of saving ourselves. That's where we would have remained. There's none that understandeth, God said. There's none that seeketh after God. So that tells me God's going to have to do something to make me seek Him. If there's none that seeks God and none seek Him, God's going to have to do something to make me seek Him. But God works everything necessary to bring His child to call upon Him. Now, I want you to see the context here. Now, if we just take this verse out of the context, it sounds like it's all up to the sinner. But now listen to the context in verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. After 70 years be accomplished. That means in God's appointed set time. You know, it was God's appointed time when Christ came into this world. Scripture says in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, when it was come, when that time was accomplished, God sent forth this Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the Spirit of adoption and be called by God. He says there, I'll perform my good word towards you. And that's what Christ did when He came. He performed all God's good word toward His people. Christ came forth and He fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle for His people. So that Christ is the only righteousness of everyone who's truly called and sanctified by God. He's our only righteousness. Not us, not our works, not anything we do. Christ only. And when Christ came, He purged all the sin of His people, past, present, and future. Christ is our justifier. He's our justification. All our sins have been put away. Everybody for whom He died, that's what He accomplished. He by Himself purged our sins. And Christ the Lord reconciled all His people to God. God is not angry with His people in Christ, because Christ reconciled all His people to God. He's the reconciler, and He is our reconciliation. It's in Christ that we're brought together with God. That's the good work He performed when He came. And therefore, at the appointed hour, when He's appointed the hour, Christ, our sovereign head, He'll send this gospel, and He'll send it home to the heart of His child. And He will cause you to return to Him. To return to Him. Just like He told them, I'm going to cause you to return. To return. He's going to cause His people to return to Him. I will cause you to return, He said. And all this is according to God's eternal purpose. He says in verse 11, because I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God recorded in His Word in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose. It's God's thoughts towards His people. Because whom God foreknew, whom He foreordained, whom He chose and predestinated, those He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that His Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. These are the thoughts God had toward His people. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. This is all those spiritual blessings with which God blessed his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, according as he chose us in him. All this is in past tense. It all happened when God put us in Christ in eternity. And ever since forever, eternally, God knows his thoughts towards his people. He knows the end to which he's going to bring each of his people. Now get this next verse. When God works his grace in our hearts, the effectual result is this. Then we shall call upon him with all our heart. Look at verse 12. Then shall you call upon me. Let's read that together again. Go back to verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You see, God's saying by his work toward us, by him working effectually in us, he's going to make his child seek him with all our heart. And when you seek him with all your heart, you shall find him. You'll be found. He'll be found of you. When thou said, seek my face, the psalmist said, when you said, seek my face, Lord, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When God commands it, God gives the power and the ability to do what God commands. When he says, seek my face, God's going to give everything needful so that you seek his face. That's what he's saying there. And then the Lord says, when you search for me with all your heart, verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. He was in control, causing us to be carried away captive. And he's in control, making us return to the place from which we were carried away. This is our God. See, do you see why the context is important? If you take that one verse, verse 13, out of context, and I've heard it preached out of context, and it puts all this work in the sinner's hands. All the reason you don't know God's because you're not believing with all your heart. And they'll just whip and whip and whip a sinner. But the context teaches us here, this is according to God's working. This is God who gets the glory for causing his people to seek him. Now that's the difference. You hear us talk about works and grace. The only two religions that have ever been and will ever be in this world is works and grace. That's the difference between works and grace. Works is putting the hand, something of the salvation into your hand. Grace is saying it's all of God. Whenever the preacher stands who teaches sinners that, and he glorifies their will and their works, he's taking glory from God and giving it to the sinner. And you know what he's doing by that preaching? He's breaking the first commandment that God gave. You'll have no other gods beside me. Because God's a jealous God. Because God will not share his glory with another. And to tell a sinner that something is by his will or his work is to make him to be God instead of God. That's another God. And that's stealing God's glory. We quote this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:29. But let's look at this. This is so inclusive. This is all inclusive right here. 1 Corinthians 1:29. God gets the glory of putting us in Christ. No flesh shall glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. God gets the glory for making Christ all unto us, who of God is made unto us. And Christ gets all the glory for being all this unto us, who makes him unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why? Why? Why does God do it all? Why is Christ all? And why does He make Christ all to His people? That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Who's the blessed man? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That's the blessed man. We'll be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. We'll give God all the glory. And that's the first thing involved in seeking the Lord, giving God all the glory for seeking. Sinner might not do that at first because he don't know what's happening to him at first. But if it's God that sought you and made you to seek Him, the end result's going to be you're going to glorify God. You're going to give Him the glory for doing that work. Before you ever sought Him, He sought you. That'll be your confession. All right, that's the first thing involved, is acknowledging God's the first cause. He's the one that does this, causes this work to begin. But then look here, God declares that to seek the Lord is to seek only the Lord. He says there in verse 13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me. You see, most aren't searching for the Lord. Most in religion aren't searching for the Lord. And most who search the Scriptures aren't searching for the Lord. They're searching something in this book, that something that teaches them that what they can do so that they can find favor with God or indebt God to them or save themselves or add to the work by their hand. They're looking for something for themselves to do. Our Lord said, speaking to some men like that in John 5:39, He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life. You're searching the Scriptures. You think just reading this book, you've got life. You think that you look in here and you read the thou shalt and thou shalt not, and you think you can have life by that. And He says, and they are they which testify of me. Cover to cover, this book is taken up with the Son of God. It's taken up with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of His people. That's what this book is about from cover to cover. Indeed, search the Scriptures. He's not saying don't search the Scriptures. Indeed, come hear the gospel preached. But don't think you have life because you've done that. Many do that who don't have life. Many do much more zealous works than that who don't have life. The Lord said there'll be many in that day that'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works? Didn't we cast out devils? And the Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There's a lot of people who think they have life in the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Hear the gospel preached. But search the Scriptures and hear this gospel preached, looking for Christ. Searching for Christ. You shall seek me, He said, and search for me, He said. We seek the Lord only. Only. We seek the Lord only when we know this, that we're totally helpless, totally unable to save ourselves or to contribute anything to the work of salvation. That's the only time we really seek the Lord. When we know we cannot save ourselves. Not before, not during, not after conversion. We can't do a thing to help God out in this. That's the only time you really search the Lord. It's not Christ plus our righteous works. It's not Christ plus our piety. It's not Christ plus our church going and our Scripture reading. It's not Christ plus anything. It's Christ only. Christ only. He's the one who saves. And we have to renounce everything else that we once put any confidence in. That's to truly seek the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Apostle Paul had so many things that he put confidence in. He said verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think he has whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And I, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Well, do you think that you gave up a lot, Paul? No, he said, I count them all dung. It was nothing. It was dung. That's all I was holding on to. He says that I might win Christ. What else? That's it. That I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See, seeking the Lord is seeking only the Lord. Not Christ plus anything. And so that means I need to find out who Christ is. Listen carefully to me now. Do you know who Christ is? Salvation's a person. I would want to know who that person is. Christ is the God-man. That means He's all God and He's all man in one person. He's the God-man. God and man had become separated from one another because of our sin. And Christ came into this world to be the mediator, to be the go-between between holy God and His chosen people, and to bring us together in one, even in Christ. That's the job of the mediator. That's what Christ came into this world to do. I want to know Him, the mediator. Christ is the only one who can do that for His people. Bring God and His people together in one. And then, if I'm going to find out who Christ is, I'm going to have to find out why Christ came. What did He come to this earth for? Why did He come down from heaven's glory? Romans 3:26 tells us this, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. He came to declare the righteousness of God, that God might be just. Justice is carried out in full by God on every person He saves, by God pouring out that justice on Christ in their room instead. So that God's just now. His law is upheld perfectly. And He's the justifier. He had mercy on His people. He came to the aid of His people and justified His people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by that work He accomplished at Calvary's cross. That's why He came. And He is this. He's just and He's the justifier of everyone that believeth on Jesus. Not everyone that works, not everyone that adds to Christ's work, but believes on Christ, rests in Christ, complete in Christ. He's just and He's their justifier. That's why He came. Do you know that's why Christ came? Do you believe He accomplished that work? Are you convinced there's nothing else to be done? Why then do you not cast all your care on Him? He came to this earth to save His people. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He knew who He was coming to save. He came to save a people that God gave Him before the world was made. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from our sins. And that's what He accomplished and is accomplishing. So I want to know who He is, the God-man mediator. I want to know why He came, to declare God just and justified, to declare God's righteousness. That's what Paul said, that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Because it's written, the just shall live by faith. And he came here to save his people. And then, if I'm going to seek Christ, I want to find out if he accomplished that work. Did he accomplish the work? He said in John 17:4, I've glorified thee on the earth, Father. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That means there's nothing that remains to be done. Nobody can add to it. Nobody can take from it. It's done. That's the good news. That's what gospel means, is good news. Is it good news if somebody came to you and told you that the work's just partly finished? That wouldn't be good news. Not if you know what you are and how helpless you are. But when you hear it is finished, that's good news. That's good news. And then if I'm going to see Christ, I want to know where he is now and what he's doing now. I would have no hope if he went in that grave and stayed in that grave. No, he went in that grave and he came out of that grave. And when he came out of that grave, all his people came out of that grave. And when he came out of that grave, God raised him up above all principality and power, all that we know and all that we don't know about, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's who he's the head over all things to the church. That he might be the one who fills all in all. He's the filler. He's the one who fills the pulpit. He's the one who fills the pew. He's the one who fills the new heart. He's the one who fills the house up with praise and glorying in him. He's the filler. And he fills all in all his people. There's not one that he's not going to send this word to and fill them with a new heart and a new spirit, with faith and repentance to turn from every vain way to rest in him alone. He's going to fill all his people with that. He filled up all the law and the prophets for his people. He's going to fill everything. He's going to fill every spot in heaven with one of his people. There won't be one missing. Because that's what God raised him to do. And that's what he's doing right now. And he's going to do something else. Scripture says, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back and going to gather up all his people. Now, don't seek a system of doctrine. That won't save you. A system of doctrine, all neat little package of doctrine. A lot of people know true doctrine, and they're mean, and there's no love in their heart, and if it wasn't something to argue about, they wouldn't have any care for it whatsoever. They learned it to use it like a M16 and just shoot people with it. Learn Christ. All that doctrine, we love true doctrine, but it's all given to lead us to Christ, to rest in Christ, to teach us of Christ. That's it. And he's the sum and substance of the doctrine. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's the king. He's the end of all true doctrine. And you've only learned true doctrine when you learn Christ. Come to Christ. Don't merely seek an escape from hell. Christ is heaven. Christ is heaven to the believer. Wherever Christ is, he's the riches we seek. He's the crown we seek. He's the rest we seek. He's heaven to the believer. Don't merely seek the benefits. There's lots of benefits that Christ gives. But seek Christ the giver rather than the benefits. Don't seek a sign. Don't seek a feeling. So many people, I think, are just, they've heard the gospel. They understand the gospel. And maybe God's worked in their heart and they truly believe the gospel. But for some reason, they sit and wait, thinking there needs to be a certain feeling they got to have, or a certain sign they got to have. Brethren, the sign is Christ. He said that. He said there's no other sign going to be given than that which was given. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be three days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And he's come forth. He's the sign. He's the sign. Faith relies on him, trusts him, rests in him, falls back in his arms. And trust him. Don't really seek to join a church. Seek Christ, who's the head of that church. Seek Him. These are ways you seek Him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ alone. So to seek the Lord, first of all, it's to give God all the glory. To know He sought me first. And then secondly, is to seek only the Lord. Nothing else but the Lord. The person, the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the resurrection. He's all to His people. Seek Him. And then look at this last thing. Look at this last thing here. In verse 13. It says, when you shall search for me with all your heart. To seek the Lord involves wholeheartedly searching for Him. Wholehearted, active searching for Him. You know, you turn on the Olympics, you know, and you watch an athlete in a race. And that race only lasts just a few short minutes. And you watch this person just sprint or run a long distance or whatever, but they in a few minutes it's over. But do you know how that person gave themselves to condition themselves to be able to run that race? The race might have been just a few minutes, but they gave hours and months and years wholeheartedly going after that prize with all their heart. That's what He's talking about here. God's not going to have us being lukewarm toward Him or our heart being divided between Him and this world or Him and anything else. He says, you'll find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Your whole heart. If a person really wants something, how do you seek it? You seek it with all your heart. If you really want something, you seek it with all your heart. A young man falls in love with a girl. He pursues her with all his heart. The athlete pursues the prize with all his heart. You have all these different examples. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had gone to all these different physicians and she had spent every last dime she had. She was looking for a cure with all her heart. And then she heard about Christ. And here she was. This woman was sick. She was sick. You know, when you're sick, you don't feel like doing anything. That didn't stop her. That didn't stop her. And then there was a huge crowd. It wasn't going to be convenient for her to go to Christ. There was a large crowd pressing all around Him. And it was going to be tough to get to Him. That didn't stop her. She went after Him with all her heart. Said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, He'll make me whole. And He did. She sought Him with all her heart. You remember blind Bartimaeus sitting by the side of the road? Here's this blind man sitting by the highway, and he hears that Christ is coming. And he starts to cry on the Lord Jesus Christ with a loud voice. And the Scripture says that all these people that were with the Lord walking by, they told this old blind beggar to shut up. They said, don't be bothering him. Don't be calling after him. That'd be intimidating, wouldn't it? Here's a host of people, and some of them were the apostles. Here was some that were probably dignitaries in the city and people of renown, and they turn to you and tell you to hush. What'd he do? He cried louder, Lord, have mercy on me. And you know what the Lord did? He stopped. Stopped in his tracks and called him and said, bring him to me. And he said, your faith made you whole. And he healed him. He gave him sight. You know what that man did? He searched for him with all his heart. He couldn't be turned away from him. That's what we're talking about here. Listen to this word. Go to Mark 4. I want you to read this. And I want you to get this now. Mark 4. Mark 4 And look at verse 24. Now, this is the Lord Jesus talking. Hear what He says here. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet it, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. Let me see if I can illustrate this. Tonight, Christ has measured some light to you in the form of this gospel that's going forth right now. Now, I want you to hear me. Now, listen. Christ has measured some light to you in the fact that this gospel has come to you tonight. He's measured some light to you. Now, how are you going to meet it? Will you go home now and download the message and listen to it again? Will you download the sermon notes and read them and study them and pay attention to what's been heard and try to digest it and understand it more and see it in God's Word? How will you meet that He's measured to you? Christ says, with what measure you meet it, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. That's what He says in our text. He said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And you'll be found, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I'll turn away your captivity. This is for the unbeliever. This is for the believer. Whatever our trial as believers, whatever our captivity as believers right now, or whatever it is for you that don't believe Him, He says, now I've sent you some light. Now, you meet it. With what measure you meet it, it'll be measured to you. He's saying there, if you search for me with all your heart, you really want to find me, you're going to find me. You're going to find me. But Christ won't be mocked. Look at the next part of verse Mark 4:25. And he that hath not, he that doesn't meet it, he that doesn't have ears to hear it, he that doesn't has no interest and refuses it, from him shall be taken even that which he has. You know what Christ is teaching? There's no neutral ground. When this gospel goes forth, take heed how you hear it. Because it does not return to God void. It's going to accomplish His purpose. Some He's going to make to seek Him with all your heart. And others are going to refuse it. And He's going to just harden them and make them more deaf and more blind in sin. It's either going to be a savor of life to you or a savor of death to you. But it's going to be one or the other. That's what He's saying there. That's what He's saying there. Look at Proverbs 1:23. And I'll close with this. He says, Proverbs 1:23. Now listen. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Well, I thought that you said He has to seek us first and He has to pour out His spirit to us first. He does. But then He tells you, now turn and I'll pour my spirit unto you and I'll make known my words unto you. To him that hath, He'll give more, He said. But now watch this. Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You set it to the side, wouldn't meet it, wouldn't go search it out, wouldn't look into it. You wouldn't have any of it, He said. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, He says, then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof, He said. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. I love them that love me, God said, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's for me and you who believe. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God's a refuge for us. And it's for you who do not believe. One of these two cases is going to be the case of everybody here. I pray now that he doesn't allow us to go on in our normal routine and just ignore his counsel and ignore his reproof. I pray he'd give us a whole heart to go after him with that whole heart, to meet this gospel we've heard and look into it and seek him and grow by his Spirit and his grace and find that great, great promise that he's given here, that he'll teach you and give you more light. I want that. I want that for you. And I pray that he'll make us do it. So seeking the Lord, number one, is to give him all the glory for making you seek him. Number two is to seek the Lord only. To seek the Lord only. And number three is to seek him with all the heart. With all the heart. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Would you indeed seek out your lost sheep now? Would you indeed fill us with your Spirit and draw us to you and make us to have an earnest desire to know Christ and only Christ? Give us a heart that's whole, a heart in which is your Spirit, a heart in which Christ is formed, and make us go after you undivided, not double-minded, but solely with a whole heart looking only to Christ. Make us to do it with zeal. Make us to do it fervently. Make us to seek you, Lord. And Lord, as you make that sinner do so, we ask you to increase that light. Make Christ ever more lovely to us. Settle us in him. Root us and ground us in his love. Make us to be fully persuaded, Lord, that Christ is all our salvation, that you have made us complete in him, accepted before you in love and without blame. Make us to know that. And make us, Lord, now to continue seeking you all our days. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.